Let's give God some praise, amen.
Amen.
We are worthy to be praised, amen. Worthy to be praised, amen. It is a wonderful thing to be able to praise God. Last week, I recall we had a wonderful time praising God. And I have to tell you this. I got this feeling that we're getting into it a little bit more. We're beginning to feel and enjoy the enjoyment of praising God. And when you praise God, hallelujah, you can reap and see the benefits of what God loves about praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have several scriptures that we're going to be going over today because today's lesson may get a little bit deep. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 28. And at the same time, I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 3. So you want to hold both of those together. Amen. And so that we can go over them simultaneously, so to speak. Acts 3, 19 and Acts 28, 26. Amen. John the Baptist spent a lifetime preaching the same sermon over and over again, and that was, repent, for the kingdom of the Lord is at hand. And as simple as it may seem, it is a challenging act for a lot to do because they know not how to repent. Amen. We hear this word and we've heard grown up with it about repenting, about forgiveness of sins. But do we really know what to repent truly means? Amen?
Amen.
We're going to start with the 28th chapter of Acts and the 26th verse, and we're going to flip immediately over to Acts 3, 19. Are we prepared?
No, amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for all that he's done for us and for all that he is yet to do.
Amen.
We pray for the wisdom that he will give to us as we proceed on. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God reads in Acts 28:26. It begins by saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Amen. Turning over to Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a special blessing to the hearing and reading of that word. And one of the key things here he speaks about is converting, being converted, and having your sins blotted out. And repent. Three key things. A lot of times we hear words we really don't, not sure what they mean, but convert means to change, amen. To change from what I was to something anew, amen. As you can turn your Bibles to Revelations 2, and in this conversion process, there's certain things we need to do to get it to work correctly. One of the things he said also was that we want to repent. And a lot of people really don't understand what repent is or how to successfully do it. Amen.
Amen.
Revelations 2, verse 5. Word of God reads, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else." Now I need you to listen here. And I'm going to say this again. "And repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." A lot of us, we may not understand what our first works are, and our first work is to share the gospel of Christ. Amen. That is what God has called all of us to do, and that is to share the gospel. Go out and spread the good news. That is the commandment that God gave unto everyone, to go out and spread the good news. We all do it in different fashions. Some of us do it by the way we walk. Some do it by the way we talk. Some do it by ministering. Some do it by phone. Some do it by text. But we all have an obligation and a command to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he says here that if we fail to do the first good works that we're supposed to be doing, we lost sight of that, or we think we can go through life without that responsibility, he says, well, then I'm going to have to come in to you quickly and take something from you. So there's a responsibility. But now, I'm on this repent subject today. Except ye repent. And for a lot of us, we don't know what repent is. See, the focus today is on repent and sin. We've been trying to do a lot of learning here. You know, we come to church. We want to know. We want to know, what is it that God requires of us? What do we need to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to get through doing this God thing and do it successfully so that we can reap the benefits of loving and worshiping God? Amen?
Amen.
You know, we want God to become the rulers of our lives. One of the key elements involved with obedience, and we discussed obedience last week, is the repentance and separation of sin. The word repentance means, and I'm going to share it with you, is the activity, okay, of reviewing one's actions. That means you taking a good look at yourself. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm looking at what my actions, the things that I have done, the things that I do, my attitude, my get down, my character. I'm looking at me. And I'm seeing my faults, amen. I'm not looking for my good qualities. I'm looking for my faults. I'm looking for the things and the issues and the sins that are within me. And he says, and as I begin to do this, the description here is that, and as you look at yourself, there is a feeling of contrition, meaning that I begin to feel, you got to understand this part here. I begin to feel remorseful. Understand that. Remorse is a saddening of yourself. I feel bad. It's like a distaste. Goes on to say, repentance is a change of mind and heart and includes turning away from sin and turning to God's forgiveness. And it generally involves a commitment to a personal change. Amen. One of the key reasons why some of us fail to advance in God is due to our lack of repentance. We say, I'm sorry. We ask for forgiveness. But in our hearts and in our minds, we have not truly repented of anything, because there is no what?
remorse. And without remorse, there can be no repentance. Amen?
Amen.
You see, if you are not sorry and remorseful for what you used to do and maybe still have a desire to do, then how can you change your ways? I gotta push this at you. You got to begin to feel hurt, saddened, upset, disappointed. You got to feel failure in a sense about your sins that you previously committed. This has to begin to be a distasteful thing in you. You want to reject it. Hallelujah. You see, and this is what remorse makes you do. The Word of God says a contrite heart, a person that is remorseful for the things that they have done, they begin to feel sorrow, saddened. And if you do not experience this type of attitude about your past conduct and things against God, your sins against God, then you cannot be repentant. You're not feeling it. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, no big deal. Mama just said, I'm sorry. So I said, I'm sorry. How many times have we all done that?
You better go tell that boy you're sorry. Hey, you run. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. But you wasn't really sorry.
See, because we all know when you saying you're sorry and you feeling that you're sorry, it's just a whole different way that it comes out. It reads into you differently. You feel it differently. And you know what I'm talking about. When somebody sincerely apologizes to you. Sometimes we apologize and we're so sorry that we've done something that tears begin to roll out of our eyes because we are truly sorry and saddened at our actions. I need you to understand this. So you need to understand how we get to the next level with God. How do I get past my past sins and find themselves blotted? Because he says, if you truly repent, we just read this. The word says, if you shall repent, then your sins shall be blotted out. But if there is no true repentance for your sins, how can they be blotted out? They still linger in our hearts. They still linger in our minds. They still form an attitude within us that says, I may want to do that again. But when you hate something, you don't go back to something. Amen. When you have a distaste for something, if you didn't like okra, I guarantee you, you're not going to cook okra for yourself to eat. Amen.
Amen.
You're not going to fix yourself something that you hate. So therefore, you're not going to do something that you hate. When you begin to hate sin, when you begin to hate sin, you won't go do sin, amen. And this is what God wants you to begin to recognize in yourself. He says repentance, you have to look at yourself. You got to begin to examine yourself. And when you examine yourself, you see this sin, and you begin to hate this sin. And you say, yeah. I want to step away from this sin.
Yeah.
And then you repent. I mean, you turn away. He said, you turn away. And you begin to move in another direction from sin.
Yeah.
Mm. And you find yourself not desiring to be a part of that sin. I got to shatter your thinking about it. I got to make you see it in a new light. We can't go on continuing to think that, well, yeah, I did that. Really wasn't no big deal. It didn't hurt nobody. It was just me, you know. But it's not about whether it hurt somebody. It's not about that it was just you. It's about how you feel about it. And that's what we're trying to get to today. How you feel about it. How do you feel about your sins? And how does that feeling affect you? Amen. You've got to begin to understand that you have to hate the sin with the passion. You got to have a dislike for it. See, the spiritual man in you, the spiritual man in you hates sin. The word of God says that it is an enmity against sin. It hates it. It can't stand it. It despises it. Your spiritual man, ooh, he just wants to puke it out because he doesn't want to have nothing to do with it. So your spiritual man is dying inside because sin is still lingering around you and in you. So your fleshly man has got to learn how to take control and get on board with the spiritual man. Your fleshly man has got to learn how to be non-desirous of sin. Your fleshly man has got to want to turn away from something that it used to want to do. Your fleshly man has got to say, I don't want that no more. Your fleshly man, this man of made of skin, this man that is controlling your heart and your mind, that man has got to be able to say, sin, 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 step away from me. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to look at that. Your fleshly man has got to get control so that your spiritual man and your fleshly man can be in tune.
Yeah.
You see, they got to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Repentance requires that you look at the man in the mirror, mm-hmm, and you say, that's ugly. That's ugly. And step away from it. So it doesn't matter how big or how small your sin is. You need to have a sincere remorse for doing it. I got to get this to you. You've got to have a sincere remorse for doing it. Something in you has got to feel like, man, I hated that I did that. I don't know what came over me. What could I have been thinking about? Have we ever had them words? And you're saying that to yourself, what came over me? What was I thinking about? Why did I go there? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? You begin to feel this. And this feeling just takes control of how you look at sin. This has got to be part of your character. So when you see sin around others, it makes you want to step away because, ooh, that is nasty. I can't stand to see that. I can't stand to be around that. I can't stand to hear that. It makes you just want to have nothing to do with it. Sin. There's a separation that happens when you truly repent and it begins to just take over. Then you see for yourself. See, because you got to understand that repentance. And I'm on repentance. See, repentance is the foundation of the Christian faith. Amen. Without repentance, there is no Christian faith. See, you got to understand that John preached for 30-something years in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He didn't say it because he just thought it up. He said it because he understood that this was the way of God. This is what God had declared for all mankind, that you must repent and be done with the sins of your past, that you needed to turn from that sin. You needed to turn from that way of life. You needed to turn from them people. You needed to turn and not look back, because we understand that when you look back, that sometimes bad things happen. You see, when you go back to that in which you come from, you find out that it wasn't like you thought it was. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the road. You gotta learn that I got to step out on faith. I got to be remorseful for what I have done. And when truly remorse has set in, then you begin to understand, I'm not going to let it come back into my life again. Oh, hallelujah. You walk that way. You talk that way. you live that way. And for those of us that know, hallelujah, that we got sin in our lives, and we keep finding an excuse to keep doing these sins. It's only an excuse. We keep putting off change. It's because you're not working with the repented heart. You see, if you know, if you don't have a true desire to change, see, if you don't have a true desire to change, then you're not going to change. You're not repentant. And that is why a lot of us continue to go back to the same old sins, because there was never a true desire, a true repentant nature within us, a true repentant heart within us, a true remorsefulness within us about our past and current sins. And this is why we put off change. I tell you this, if I knew for certain that if I smoked another cigarette tomorrow, I would drop dead on my face, I guarantee you, I would not smoke another cigarette. Amen. Amen. You see, because something within me would tell me life is more precious than death. Yes. And if I understand that life, hallelujah, and this is what I'm going with, life is more precious than death. Mm-hmm. You'd rather live for God than die in the devil. You'd rather live for God than be a part of the world that is going to die to the corruption of the world. You see, when you begin to understand, I don't feel that. I don't want to get out of that. Because it hurts me. It makes me sick. I got to run to the bathroom and lay my head over the toilet because that's how I feel about it. When you get that type of feeling about sin, and the causes of it, it makes you want to go do them type of things. You got to begin to feel that positive. You got to say, I'm not going to allow myself to ever be involved with the sinful things of the world. I'm going to keep myself. I'm going to maintain myself. I'm going to protect myself. Oh, woo! Hallelujah. We have to commit to change. Yeah. We've got to commit to change. Without repentance, in the world of repentance comes the contriteness, and that brings about the change, the remorsefulness. It comes with a change. We begin to understand, I can't go back. With repentance, and I'm pushing this, I need this to sink in. You cannot repent if you do not change. Understand this. Because if you think that you can keep doing the same things and say that you are repentant of it, you're lying to yourselves. Repentance means that you have changed and you have turned and you have walked away. And it comes with an agreement and a guarantee that I'm not going to go back to that. You don't go back to that that makes you sick. Amen. You don't go back to that which is distasteful unto you. The word of God says that. And we read this earlier. We hear, but yet we don't understand. We see, but yet we don't perceive. We read this earlier. We've been reading this all these years about be repentant. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And God says that we are rebellious people. We hear things, but it don't sink in. We see it with our own eyes. Man, look at the stuff over there going on. Man, there was some crazy people, man. But we don't perceive. We don't perceive what is really happening. We don't see the damage that is at work. We don't see it. This is what the word of God teaches us. We hear it, but we don't understand it. We see it, but we're not perceiving what is really actually happening. But when we when we get to that repentant nature, amen, we can begin to see them things and hear them things and understand them things and perceive them things. And they begin to take over and our lives begin to change, amen. The day has come, amen, when the Lord, when those that have called on the Lord need to stand for the Lord. Their walk needs to be about the Lord. Their talk needs to be about the Lord. Their business of life needs to be about the Lord. And if by chance, and I say this, and if by chance sin should occur in their lives, then they need to repent immediately. And there should be an immediate, hallelujah, an immediate distaste for whatever it was that happened. It should make them want to just, just make the ugliest face you can possibly think of and feel that distasteful way you can feel. It's got to have that type of feeling on you, because that's what sin is supposed to do to you. They should cry out, Lord, blot this sin from me. Take this out. Wipe that away. Cleanse me of that. Get rid of that. I don't want no part of it. I don't want that burden on me. I want to be free from that. Because when I tell you this, I'm going to go over to 2 Chronicles 7. I tell you this.
2 Chronicles 7.
When you truly have repented, and you need to hear this, when you truly have repented of a sin, and this sin tastes so terrible in your mouth, you are not going to go back to it. So that means in your heart, you have got to begin to feel like any sin that is a part of me is so terrible and tasteful to me that I don't want nothing whatsoever to do with it. And when you feel that way, when you feel that way about it, you will not go back to it.
Amen.
You will not. I am so serious. Trust me. You will not. You will run from it. You will run from it. You will run from it. I'm serious. When the Bible says repent, turn, you will flee. That's what the word of God says. Flee. And you will not look back at it. Amen.
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 Second
Chronicles 7 chapter verse 14. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close with that. The word of God reads there, if my people, which are called by my name, amen, that's each and every one of you, mm-hmm, which are called by my name, and that's each and every one of you, amen, amen,
amen,
amen, shall humble themselves, mm-hmm, and pray and seek my face, and what does it say here? And turn from their wicked ways, turn from your sin, amen. Then, listen to this now. And you need to listen to this. So you need to get the word of God. Then he said, he started off with what you need to do first. Those that are called, those that humble themselves. See, when you're remorseful, you're humbling yourself. You're on your knees and you're saying, Lord, I'm sorry that I went there. I'm sorry that I went to that site. I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry that I did it. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Please, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry that I did it. And you're begging yourself. You're crying and you're pleading with God. You're humbling yourself at the throne of God. And you're really feeling like, I don't want to have that in me no more. That's the humbleness of it. He says that those that will do that, amen, oh, hallelujah, those that will do that and turn from that wickedness, Then, means then, that's when I'm going to step in. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. You see, he says, I need you to humble yourself, to be remorseful about what you did. Amen. Be sorry about what you did. Then will I forgive their sins. But if you're not remorseful, if you just said I'm sorry and you plan on going back to do it next week again, then you wasn't sorry. Yeah. Sin still rules over you. Mm-hmm. And but he says, when you turn from it.
And this is God talking. This ain't me.
Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Then will I begin to bless you, pour out my abundance of blessings on you, begin to shower you with the riches that I have. Yes. Then you'll begin to see me in my glory. You'll look up and you say, yeah, hallelujah. You look up and you say, thank you, Lord, for all that you're taking me through. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that you cared about me. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are to me. Thank you, Lord, for the investment that you made in me. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on me. You begin to say that to God because you begin to appreciate that God is in your life. And I tell you this, when you begin to hate sin, because you got to hate it. You can't halfway think of I'm okay with it. You can't be okay with it. Get this straight. You can't be okay with it. You got to know this in your mind. I'm going to say this. You got to know this in your mind and know this in your heart. That to continue in sin is like one of the worst diseases that we think about in mankind is cancer. And sin is equivalent to this. Because that's how it is. It's a cancer. You sin. You don't see it. But it's like a cancer that is inside of you. And it's eating away at you. Internally, it is tearing you up. It is dissecting your organs. It is busting you down. It is making you weak. It is making you to the point where you're feeling almost dead. And that's what it's like with sin. You've got to understand, it's just like that. It's like, I'm going to have me a bowl of cancer this morning.
I'm just going to have me a bowl of cancer. Have me a bowl of cancer. I'm going to have me a bowl.
You got something going on that is killing your inside. Your inside is your spiritual man. Sin is killing your spiritual man. It's tearing it down. It's taking you further and further away from God. So you've got to get control and understand that I've got to have control over this in my life. I don't want to walk around with a cancer in me. I don't want that tearing up my body and eating away at me and causing me to not have the benefits of God blessing my land. If my people would only hear and perceive and do that which God has called you to do. Remember my verse. And that verse was what? Share the word of God. Share the word of God. And I tell you this, when you're sharing the word of God and not sharing the way of the world, you can reap a whole lot of more benefits from God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for allowing us to share the word of God with you today.